सदाशिवसमारम्भां व्यासशङ्कर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानामालयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणम् सूत्रभाषकतो वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। So the topic we are looking or discussing is called the nature of the Brahman or the Tatpada Laksha Artha. In the Mahavakyam Tat Tvam Asi, there are three parts of it: Tat, Tvam and Asi. Tatpada Artha Lakshya, Tvam Pada Lakshartha and Asi Pada Lakshartha. So these three things make together one Mahavakyam called Tat Tvam Asi. Means I am that, I am not this, I am that. So when you say I am that, means it's actually indicating to you that you are not this physical body, you are something else. And the third portion of the topic discusses the nature of the Paramatma or the ultimate self. The Tvam talks about you as individual. So there is an individual and there is a Paramatma, Jiva and Paramatma. So the Upanishad or any of the granthas, they actually give you introduction to the two topics first. If you recollect, in the previous topics we discussed, we saw the nature of the individual. The previous topic which we had, there it was discussed about the individual and all his limitations, how this person comes to take birth, samsara, everything we talked about. That is the Tvam Pada Lakshartha. Now this author is actually now discussing the Tat Pada Lakshartha. Tat means the self, nature of the self or the Brahman. So the word Brahman, as you know, is coming from the word called Brh. That which is passive, which is expandable, which is mammoth, cannot be quantified. So the first verse we saw, just to recap, asti bhati priyam rupam nama chetyansha panchakam adyatrayam brahma rupam jagat rupam tatodvayam. So asti bhati priyam, so three things, means it exists, it shines, and it is dear to me. Any object in this world, any object you see here, it always first will exist. So existence is the precondition or presupposing things. There cannot be something called non-existence. Even in the word called non-existence also, there is the word existence. You cannot say non. You have to say non-existent. At the same time, you cannot say existences. There cannot be multiple or many existences. Existence is only one. So one existence, one and only, and from there all the objects which are there, they appear or they shine after that. So asti denotes existence, bhati denotes that it shines, that objects always shines in the wake of light, and the object is dear to you, priya, because when any object which is available to you is dear to you, or you like the object. Now this can be questioned, saying, no, I don't like all the objects, I only like certain objects. Here the author says here that we are dropping the vyashti vichara. We are now looking at samashti vichara, which is a person has already developed a view of the whole. He has left the individuality and he says, look, I am not myself. I am looking at this whole as a complete universe. And everything in this object, in this universe is existent, existing. It is shining. And it is priyam, means it is likable to somebody or the other. You may not like you may not like certain things. But there will be other people, you know, in the other parts of the world, or people will be there, they may like it. Say, example, you have new clothes. You buy it, go to the shop, you buy it, you use it. After 3 years or 2 years, a new design comes in. You want to go and buy the new design. Naturally, you cannot keep on accumulating, correct? Because you outgrow it. You don't like anymore the old design. So what do? You dispose it off. Now the thing which you like the most has now become not likable to you. But something else has now come into existence, correct? It's a new object or new dress or a new shirt or pant has come into existence. And now you like that one. Thereby, your liking for the old clothes has now deteriorated. You don't like it anymore. The moment you look at it, you see, my God, I got these old clothes. I hate it. I hate to wear this dress. I hate to wear this shirt. We always have this. So we go and buy new clothes, new objects, anything. And this old clothes, you may donate it to some charity. There might be a lot of charities operated, and these clothes are used by somebody, or they may find it absolutely fascinating because people don't have these clothes. See, there are always people who have plenty and people don't have anything at all, or they haven't seen this type of clothes. See, if you export this to, you know, send this to an earthquake victim or somebody in a backward country, they will find all this designer clothes which you are wearing. Now you are not wearing anymore. They find it a lot of value to them and they like it. So it's called priyam. So priyam is a relative term and it is a very widely accepted term. So we'll have to look at it in a holistic perspective, not like a individual perspective. What you may like may not be liked by other person. What you dislike may be liked by other person. So this is a universal phenomenon existing in the world. Because anything which is applicable across, that which is existing, that which is shining, and that which is priyam, these three things are belonging to the tat pada lakshyartha, or to belong to the nature of Brahma. Because these things are always available, these things cannot be separated. Right. See, if we should take next two, rupam, namam. So what is namarupa? Namarupa are just names and forms. See, every object has got a name and a form. If you see a table, the table has got a name, so you call it a table. And you know it has got four legs, a flat top. So there is a rupam. So there's a form, there's a name. But if you look at the previous three, if you apply the same rule, the table was already existing in what form? It is already existing in the wood form, correct? That's not newly created. The table was already existing in wood form. Only the wood got manifested as a table. So all the names and forms were already existing in the wood. If you have a big timber log in your house, say a big tree, you chopped a big tree in your house, and you ask a carpenter, somebody comes, look, I got this huge log in my backyard. Can you do something? Or can we use it? The carpenter, what does it do? He immediately has got a view. Okay, from this, if you cut this log into, I can make a table, I can make two tables, one chair, one stool, one flat bench. Right? He tells you all these things. You cannot see it, but he can see it. How does he see it? Because the wood itself is just raw, correct? It has got no form, no shape. But the person who is there is able to see the nama rupam, everything in there, correct? He's able to see it. But these objects keep changing. See, nama rupam will keep changing all the time. Tomorrow the table will undergo a change. And you may find that this table is not more likable to you. You want to demolish the table. So you go back to the carpenter and tell him, look, I don't like this table anymore. I want to make a small bar stool or something to sit on and eat breakfast. So he, what does it do? He chops off all the legs, takes off all the flat things, and he tries to bring out a new object for it. So now the table has become no what a bar stool. What has changed? The name has changed, correct? From a table to a bar stool. And from a stool, which was there, now it has become something else. So basically the name and form has changed. The function has changed. But the essence of, that's the only truth, has not changed, correct? The wood continues to live, was living in the table. The wood continues to live in the bar stool also. So what does it say? That which is not changing, that which does not change, is called the Sat, or that which is the absolute truth. It's called existence. So what does it do? Existence is what? That which lends existing to other objects. Right? It gives you, it actually lends existence. And because of the nature of of lending the existence, it shines. So asti bhati priyam. So you now like the table. You like the table before, now you don't like the table anymore, you like the bar stool. So priyam. So the priyam aspect changed from table to bar stool, right? But the priyam aspect does not change in totality, correct? Right? You still like the priyam aspect. You still like it. But now your perspective has changed. Your vision has changed. Or you are from a form and name. But the likability continues to exist throughout. So this is something which cannot be changed. That's why these three things, Adhyatrayam Brahma Rupam. So Adhya, having this, out of these first three, they belong to the Brahma Rupam, or they belong to the nature, the self. Same example you can also extend to your own body also. You exist, we exist. The body exists. The body shines because of the mind lending existence to sensory powers. The sensory powers fire up the sense organs. and thereby you are able to visualize yourself, you are able to see yourself, you are able to touch yourself. You can eat good things, you can speak good things, bad things also. So all these things are possible because of what? Because of the shining nature of the illuminator. And we always saw that the ultimate illuminator's room is Brahman or Sakshi or the witness, that which illumines everything. And the Sakshi doesn't need another light to tell him that it's actually a light. Like the sun illumines everything when it rises up. The sun doesn't need to be told that, look, hey sun, you wake up in the morning, 6 o'clock, I'll give you my light. Because the sun's nature is to illuminate. It's such a nature. So, Bhati means shines. Right? So, sun exists, shines, and then it's preempt to you. It's actually likable to everyone. Some people don't like sun because they say, I hate sun. Because you want, you'll become dark or you get a headache. So, you want to walk with an umbrella or a hat. But there are some people who like absolute sun. They like to be in the sun all the time. It's possible. So, if you look at the Vyashti Vichara or the Samashti Vichara, you have to take it. Vyashti level, you will have all these dislikes and likes. At a Samashti level, you will be able to disregard those things. So, the author here is talking about the Samashti level. He's talking about the higher level of reality, or reality, ultimate reality is only one. So, Adhyatrayam Brahma Rupam. Jagat Rupam Tato Dvayam. So, the Jagat, which you see, the objects which are there, they are always Nama Rupa only. Nama Rupa Karma. All the objects which are there, they have only name and form. They keep changing all the time. Thereby, it is also called what? Relative reality. Like it is actually relative, it's not absolute reality. Reality is absolute, only one. But it seems to exist as though it is real. But in reality, it's not absolutely real, it's just seemingly real. Therefore, we use a term called Vidya. So what is Vidya? Vidya is that which is not real, but appears to be real. So in nature, it can be, say, dismissed. Because the universe is real for you, you cannot say that it's not existing. At the same time, in the wake of knowledge, you will say that, look, this universe is not really real. It is actually appearing as totramadhirika. It is like an appearance only. And it keeps changing all the time. See, if this universe is real, absolute real, then ella apdiye irukana, potapdi apdiye irukana. When you get up in the morning, everything should be as it is. The tree should be standing as it is. It should not grow old. It should not drop a leaf. But it changes. The tree can demolish, can get destroyed, or everything is possible. Right? So there is a lot of changes which you see. So we also know our own body also, if you look at it, you would like to be young all the time. If you say this body is real, absolute real, reality, then we should be always young. There should be no death. But it is not possible. Right? So we know that this kaya, sharidam, is going to be one day going to change. It's going to go one day. So this is not real. So you must not take this real. Whereas what we do, we always take this as a real one, and then we think everything else is not real. So this is the view the author tries to tell here, that Nama Rupam will keep changing. You may have a name today, your own name. You can go tomorrow, you say, for example, you don't like the name. Some people have a habit of going to the registrar and saying, look, I don't like this name. Let me go and change my name. So they go to the gazetted officer and say, look, you know, from today onwards, I'll not be called Shankar. I'll be called Mishra. So you can do that. But does it change your personality? Do you really become Mishra? From Shankar to Mishra, how is it possible to become the same? Same mind is there, same body is there, same function is there, same buddhi is there, same ahankara is there. Everything is same. But what has changed? I mean, the name has changed. So that is why it says here that Rupam Namam. Okay. You may, for example, you may become Mishra, you will say, I'll wear a turban. Just identify. So you can change your appearance, you can dress differently, you can do lots of things. But your real nature, you cannot change, because the moment you open your mouth, you know that you are on Mishra, you are only that person. So, you can imagine that, you know, when it's applicable to your own body, what you see, the objects is through your own body only. So when this is unreal, how can the other things be real? See, that's why the author is saying here that all the objects, rupam, namam, they are all only temporary. They are not real. Therefore, it is called nitya and not to be taken as a truth. The only truth to be taken is the asti, bhati, priyam. This is the only three which is absolutely real. Which is what? Sat, right? Chit, anandaha. So asti means what? Sat. Bhati means chit. Because chiti is what? Shining. Consciousness that shines. Right? And priyam is anandaha. So asti, bhati, priyam is equal to sat, chit, anandaha. So this is what we saw before. See, sometimes we are not able to appreciate, or see, we may have studied all these things. We know, yes, I have studied Didhishreka, I studied Bhagavad Gita, I have studied all these things. And I know all this asti, bhati, priya. But somehow, it's not getting registered. When the time comes, you are not able to apply this principle in practice. Why? It is because there are still some impurities which are existing. See, it is not clear. See, your understanding of the concepts are there. But our old habits which are there. See, the impurities, you know, the antakarana has to be clean slowly. Then only you can actually apply this principle in practice. See, many times we see, we have studied a lot of text. We know some, but when coming to application, we are not able to apply anything because our mind is still not ready yet to apply those in practical situations. So just like, you know, when you go to the pond, say you go to a muddy pond. Not muddy pond means like, you know, a pond which has got water, just dirt there. And if you are hungry, if you are really thirsty, what do? You know the water is dirty. You want to drink the water. So what do? You actually see, you first start clearing the water with your hand, right? You first look for traces of the dirt, you try to remove it. By pushing the water away or by filtering the water away, and then what you do, you use a cup, use a hand, and then you drink the clear water. Okay? So when you remove the dirt, the water becomes clear. Right? And thereby, you are able to drink it. So what it tells you here is that our mind is always full of impurities. And to clear the impurities, you need to do shravana. So listening, keep on listening continuously and dwelling upon the same thing again and again, ananda, very important. You have to keep on listening, keep on revisiting the topic. Even if it is, you know, boring to you, still have to do that. Because our mind is so gross that to become subtle, it has to keep on reiterating the same thing again and again. And for Shastram, this is the only method of, you know, of getting it through. There's nothing like a miracle saying, I'll study one time, once I'll get like this. You may know at that point of time, when you go back after, say, 2 years, we'll forget it. If you don't come to the class, we'll forget completely about it. You don't even know what an Nidhyasana means. All the fine points will disappear. That's why one has to be, till the person passes away. Either the person will be doing Savanam, Maranam, and Nidhyasana always. Because that's the only way you can keep recollecting. There's no other way. So you can listen to anything else, not necessarily the same topic. But you have to be in satsang, in shastram all the time. That's the only way you remember it. So the raga dveshas which are there, the likes and dislikes are there. That's what actually prevents you from applying these things in practical situations. So a person who applies these things systematically, does Savanam, Maranam and Nidhyasana, he becomes a yogi or is called a yoga. A person who doesn't do this, any of these things and lives just to enjoy the world or I am very happy, is called a bhogi or called a bhoga. So yoga and bhoga are two terms. I choose to be a yoga, a yogi or a bhogi. It's entirely up to the person to choose which path you want to follow. A yogi can also be a bhogi, because if you are a yogi, they will call you for all food and everything, can also enjoy. If you're just a bhogi, you cannot enjoy the knowledge, because food, that's the only thing you'll know. So in knowledge, there's advantage. See, people call you satsang, they'll say, look, let me have a talk. This person knows something, let me have a discussion. And there'll be food available. So in knowledge, food is available. Without knowledge, only food is available. Nothing else available. So you get the advantage of both. You enjoy.
Sridhar, I'm in the class.
Nanda. So, when you are satisfied with yourself, so first of all, you know, the satisfaction has to be first within yourself. You have to be first satisfied. Then you will be able to appreciate the beauty in everybody else and appreciate this universe, and then you'll be happy. If you yourself are not happy, say kure, 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 kure. You always say that I am short, I am small, I am limited, I am not happy, I don't like this. Then how can you enjoy the other people, other things? We always, first of all, busy with you know, your own things. So you'll see the Bhagavad Gita also later on, it says Atma Dhatmanat Atma Tushtaha. The person who is actually very happy just by being himself. He doesn't need other people to accompany him or to give him pleasure. See, if you look at some people, you know, they'll say, if I don't have the company of this person, I'll be very boring. I cannot live without the person. I had to go there. I had to be in this party. I had to participate in the meeting. If he's not there, means I'm dependent. All this dependency is what it causes you problem, right? Because you get attached. Attachment is different. Attachment is different from doing a duty. What do? We get attached. And the attachment, what happens is we actually surrender our individuality. Thereby we become so restless that we are longing for them. And we seek the happiness, your happiness, in other person. You will say that, you know, I want that person to be happy. I want my daughter to be happy. I want them to get married. I want to be. But indirectly, what you're trying to do, you're trying to seek your happiness in other person getting happy. Right? Supposing the other person marries somebody else. Supposing your daughter or, you know, your son marry somebody else, will you be happy is a question. You will not be, because you want your happiness in exactly what that's what seeking for. That is called, what is called attachment. Thereby, you know, you keep harping about like apradharakanam, apradharakanam, right? So, what the author says here is that you try to be first happy by yourself, then you'll be able to, you know, enjoy other person as it is. That is unconditional. Swamiji used to say in his lecture sometimes, you say, initially what do you say? You say, I love you, I love you, I love you somebody. You always keep saying somebody, right? I love this person, I love this person, I love you son, I love you daughter. Then later on, when you study Vedanta, it becomes, I love you, I love you. I love you to love me, I love you. Love and allow is a different thing. So unconditionally say, I love you to do what you are, I'm okay with that. Right? So I do not have any sort of, you know, animosity. I do not have any sort of hatred. I don't have any preference to you. So from say, I love you, Data, I love you, son, I love you, daughter, I love you, so and so. Then it becomes, I love you, I love you, I love you. So it's a change of perspective. The only the word has changed now from love to allow. But if a person has not fully studied Vedanta properly, he will say, I love you, but you know, if you do this kind of things, I allow you to do this. So it's called conditional acceptance. Whereas it should be unconditional. Just like, you know, Revati, you know your dog. It doesn't expect anything from you. It's unconditional love. It doesn't demand anything because it doesn't know what is emotion. It doesn't know. You see that, you know, the animal has got emotion, you see. And thereby you feel, you know, my God, the power mark is very sad. But the dog doesn't know what is sadness. It doesn't know what is happiness means. When the tail is actually dancing up and down, you can sense that it's very happy. But a dog doesn't know that it's happy or not. Because it does not have the view of, you know, aham or I am. It doesn't have anything like this. Thereby, it doesn't have any punyam papa, it doesn't have anything. It is not bound by any emotions. Whereas human being has got this buddhi of, you know, first of all, trying to put two and two together, trying to understand that this is what it is, and then drawing an incorrect inference also. Hope it's clear, right? I'm trying to give you a perspective of how things change when you study Vedanta and when you look at this from a Vyashti Rupam to a Samashti Rupam. So same thing we saw in verse 21 also. Kham Vayur Agni Jalor Vishu. So the five elements which are there, which is space, Vayuhu. Kham means space, Vayu means air, Agnihi means fire, Jalaha means water, and Vishu means earth, Urvi. So five elements are there. Deva Tirya Nara Adishuhu. So Deva Tirya means even the Devas also, the people who are celestials who are looking up, when we look at upstairs, they are also, Tirya is the horizontal growth people or the animals. So Tiryak is a word which is used in Sanskrit in Vedanta for those objects or those things which grow horizontally. Only the human being will grow vertically towards vertical. Right? You'll always see a human being only grows vertical. It never grows horizontal. We have a choice of walking with four legs if you want. See, we have two legs, we have two hands. If you want to walk on four legs, we can do. Like, you know, you can bend down on knee and we can walk like this. And do like this. So we have a choice. By default, we walk only with two legs and these hands are used to guide them or hold things. But if you look at the animal, it is forced to walk only on four legs. It doesn't have a hand of its own. because that's the way. So even if it wants to grow, also it can't grow because it's always, its hands are always on the ground. How can it grow vertical? So it has to grow only horizontal. So it's called Tiryak. That's why it's called Tiryak, that which grows horizontal. So the human being sees the beauty of human being. They have a choice. Even in walking also, he's got a choice. If you want, you can also use your four hands, like, you know, two legs and hand to walk around like this. It's up to you. Or you can stand vertically and also walk. But the animals, they have no choice. That's why we always say that the animals do not have a choice. Thereby, they are free from all the papa karmas, punya karmas. They don't have any samsara or nothing like this. Only we human beings have got samsaras. Because we got the free will, we got intelligence, we got choice, and we know that we are aham. This concept is there in us. So, Deva Tiryak Naram Nara Adish means Naraha means the human beings. Adi means all of them. They all have what? Abhinnaha Satchit Anandaha. Abhinnaha means differentiation. Abhinnaha means there's no differentiation. All of them has got consciousness. All of them. But they appear as what? Rupa Naman. So they are all appearing as names and forms. They differ because of what? Because of the manifesting medium. It's not there. See, consciousness is existing in each and everything available in this jagat. But the reflecting medium or the manifesting medium is not available in certain things. Like the animals which are there. You cannot say that they are non-existing. They are existing. There is consciousness. There's also in the mountain consciousness, river consciousness. Anything we see conscious there, but it cannot express itself because the manifesting medium is not there. So only the human beings have got this unique capability of having consciousness reflected. Thereby you are able to identify everything else as what? Vidyate Rupa Namani. So you are able to identify everything as all what Nama Rupa. So you have a name for everything, you have a form for everything, correct? So in all the four, the five elements of which is there, Sat is existing all the time. From Sat alone, everything came into existence. Without Sat, nothing can exist. All the Pancha Bhutas also, they owe their existence to one, only one reality. Right. So that's what the author says here. So he's just elaborating the vision of the Samashti Vichara here. Saying that from one vastu, all these things came, appeared. Right? So I told you before also, Sadaiva Rupa, I told you, right, was one object. Right? Idamagrama asit ekameva dvitiyam. So before this was there, Sat alone was existing. And from there what? It actually came into existence, came into manifesting medium was there. Thereby this jagat came into existence or this scene. So what is jagat? This jagat is all these pancha bhutas are there. All these elements which you see here, all the elementals which are there, they are all manifesting because of what? Only one source, which is Brahman. So the author is trying to say here that the Sat alone is the truth. All the other things are all modified names and forms which are recognized because of the manifesting. and they have all called names and forms. They all will disappear one day. See, even the space, the fire, water, earth, everything will disappear one day. Because from the Sat alone, they all came into existence. So when something is coming into existence, it also has got a time factor, correct? Well, Brahman is actually what? It has got no time factor. It is absolute, it's actually beyond time. Space also is within time. All of them are within time only. Is it clear to you, or you need more elaboration? It might be difficult to understand because, you know, the connection is like the author is continuing from the previous verse. He's saying Sat Chit Anandaha, right? And everything else is what? All Nitya. So he's already said that Sat Chit Anandaha is all only Asti Bhati Priyan, is only Brahman. He has given the definition of Brahman in three words, three things. Everything else is Nitya, all names and forms. So here he elaborates further, saying that, okay, you may say that what about the air, you know, the water, fire, everything? Do you think it may be called Brahman? Or it might not be Nitya? Here he says that even those also is actually modified only, and they owe their existence to only Brahman only. In the wake of Brahman only, these things appear. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, it's talked about elaborately. It's said very clearly how this creation came into existence. I mean, which elemental caused which element, which one. So it actually elaborates in detail all the products, how in which order it came, in which order it will actually disappear also. The space will be the last to disappear. Earth will be the first to go. So I think I told you also, Akashat Vayuh Vayor Agnihi Agnir Apaha Adyas Prithivi Oshadibhyo Annam Annat Purushaha. So the Purushaha which is talked about here is coming out of what? Vegetation, Anna or food. Food is coming out of what? Prithivi, because the vegetation is growing along the only on the earth. Right. And then it goes back in the same order, right? Till it goes back to space. So when the whole pralaya, when the whole thing ends, like when it starts, first of all, the man will disappear. The human being will start to disappear slowly. Then vegetation also will go, because there will be fight for vegetation. Less will be there. So man also will be less. Slowly, the earth will, you know, start to, you know, to dissolve. All these things will start slowly. So what it tells you is nothing gets really destroyed. It just goes through a change. See, even death also is called a change only. It's not permanent death. Death is only for the body. It's only a change. Change in what? Your consciousness actually going from one to another. So it's actually there always. Only thing, the manifesting medium has now changed. Right? So for Vedanti, death is only a change. It's not a permanent death. It's a difference. So you tend to overcome death or the fear of death by saying, it's just a change. I am always there existing. I am not going to die. See, my Chaitanya Swarupam, as I am the eternal knower, it's already existing, I'm always there. The manifesting medium will change. See, this body may not be there. I may get a new body tomorrow, but I'll continue to exist forever. Just like this Brahman. Air may go, fire may not be there, water may not be there, earth may not be there, but I will continue to exist as the pure essence of everything. So that's the vision which is very important to get. So once you are able to understand that vision, that I am not this physical body. I am not belonging to any of the segments. I am the pure essence. And I am about time and space. I'm actually transcending time and space. Then you are no longer actually bound by any of these things. Till such time, you know, you're bound by many of the restrictions. Because all of them, they come under the time which is called mithya, which keeps changing every time. So example we have seen before, we have seen also the gold, right? The ornaments we have seen. If you have a gold ornament which you see, you're wearing also. A ring which I got, a ring here. It's called a ring because now you know you have a, but if you look at it first time, you'll say, ah, it's a diamond ring, it's a gold ring, it's got stones, you see all the things. You enjoy the beauty of it. If you're not studying Vedanta, after you study Vedanta, you'll go one level deeper, saying, okay, look, now I see it, another dimension also. Yes, I see a gold. I see all the stones which are there. But I know that the essential nature of this is only gold only. It's only the name and the form. I've given a name called a gold ring, a diamond ring. And I've got a shape which is unique. Tomorrow, if you go back to GRT or and say somebody else, Sangamalike, whatever you have, Saravana stores, whatever you go, I give it back to this person and say, look, I am tired of this. Can you give me a new one? He may give you a new shape. But the gold continues to exist irrespective of the design change, correct? The name and change. Gold is gold only. So this is what the author is trying to tell you, that the nama, rupa, karma, the function. Tomorrow this ring may not be of use to me. I may say, give me something else. I may want to wear a chain. I may put additional gold. I may wear a chain. So it will purpose a different purpose, correct? The function has changed now. But the root, the essential nature of the gold has not changed. So that's what the author is trying to say here, that asti, bhati, priya. Its existence is gold, right? And it shines because it comes into light. And you like it. It's enjoyable. It gives you ananda. All the other things which are there, they're all what modifications of the name and form. And the name and form are what mithya, do not give put too much importance to it. You must not ignore it, saying it's tuccha. It's not tuccha. It's not tuccha. Because you cannot say, dismiss it. Say, no, it is not existing at all. You cannot say that. See, a lot of people say, look, I studied Vedanta now. This universe is not existing at all for me. I don't see this universe. It's not right. See the universe, but we dismiss the universe in knowledge, saying, look, this universe is there, but it is actually not real because this is only mithya. So it's a term. So tucham is different from mithya. Tucham is tukyadi pesham. You say, I don't dismiss it. That's why always, you know, the Upanishad first tells you creation first. It doesn't directly tell you that there's no creation. If it tells you there's no creation, then you'll ask a creation, you'll ask the same. If you say there's no creation, then what about that one? You ask the question. So Upanishad says, okay, first I'll tell you what it is. Then I'll tell you why you should negate it. Correct. So that's why you always say that you see, if I tell you that, you know, the truth of every wave is only water, you will not accept it first. So first I'll have to show you what is water. Then I have to tell you what is a wave. And how does a wave, you know, is part of the ocean only, right? It's not different. So step by step you have to bring it and then dismiss or remove, dissolve this dvaitam into only one reality. So this is what the author tries to do here. Saying that, understand that all these things which is here, they are all subject to change. Abhinnaha is satchit anandaha. Abhinnaha means there's no differentiation in satchit anandaha. It is actually existing universally, always will exist. So that's what we saw. So we let's come to the main topic, verse 22. See, verse 22 is a seed mantra for Vidyasanam or Samadhi, which is the next topic. So one may ask, what is Samadhi? Is Samadhi the same as meditation? So Samadhi means, Samadhau means to be focused, to concentrate on a specific thing. It's called Samadhi. You are in Samadhi. Not like the Samadhi which, you know, acharyas take when they disappear and then they go down the earth and say, I'm taking Samadhi. Not that. Samadhi is the state where a person dwells upon an object. Can be called meditation. But the meditation has to be on the nature of the self or Shastram or the Guru. There cannot be any other object of meditation. This is the view of the Vedanta. What it says here is that the meditation should be on the Shastram itself. What the Shastram teaches you. It can be the Mahavakyam, it can be the meaning of a text, it can be the meaning of a verse, it can be anything. Where it reveals the nature of the Brahman or consciousness or the reality. Or it can also be on the Guru itself, where you know when the teacher is teaching you, you hear the words. You hear the words, and the words actually ring in your ears. Repeatedly saying the same thing again and again. It starts to ring in ears. Even sleep also, sometimes these words come. Asti, Bhati, Priyam, Rupam, all this will come. Some words you like, some sentences you don't like. But certain things, it just goes straight. Keep ringing all the time. That also is called meditation, where you know the meaning of that mantra or the mantra. And then you keep, assimilating the mantra and saying, look, this is the meaning of the mantra. Like if I say, we have this Mrityunjaya mantra. We say that. Om Trayambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam Purvarukam Ivabandana Mrityor Mukshi Yamamrutat. We say this. It's a mechanical mantra. The person doesn't say, if he comes to the chanting class or a prayer mantra, it's a prayer mantra. So it becomes a prayer mantra, means you pray, and in the prayer there's a fervent expression of helplessness. It's out of suggestion. Where you express your helplessness to say, look, I don't know what I am praying for, but I am praying for. And that prayer itself will sort of, give you protection. So there the prayer becomes a karma. It's just an activity where you chant and you go. It has got no other connection besides the prayer. So if you come to the chanting class, Revati, you come to chanting class. We chant all the prayer mantras. Lots of things we chant. It's a practice, it's a karma, it's a routine. It's a good discipline. But that discipline will not give you any jnana. It does not, you cannot dwell upon it. See, if I tell you, you meditate upon this mantra. Keep chanting the mantra 100 times. You will do it because of japa. Right? It will become like a japa only for you. But the japa will actually turn to Nidhyasanam or a meditation where if I tell you the meaning of the mantra. So any mantra which you contemplate or upon then becomes an object of meditation. Then you are actually in line with the object. Then you know the mantra, the word or the words, what it tells you. Then indirectly, there is no need to focus on something else outside. So if you look at this mantra also, Trayambakam Yajam. So Trayambaka means is Shiva who has got the three Ambaka. Ambaka means three-eyed Lord. So you say now, see, the object of meditation is Shiva now. But how do you see the Shiva? So the Shiva says, oh Shiva, you have got three eyes. Trayambakam Yajamahe. So I am actually praying to you. Who? What does it do? Sugandhim. It's actually Narumana. It's actually filling me with all freshness. Pushtivardhanam. He's giving you all nourishment which is required for me to stay healthy and to be active and to meditate on this. How does he do it? Urvarikamika bandhana. Urvarikam is a fruit. It's like a pumpkin which grows on the ground. If you've got a pumpkin in your backyard, you will see that the pumpkin, if you put a seed, it is like a vine. It might climb on your fence. It might climb on anything what you do. Right? And if you look at the pumpkin, it will grow very big. Yet, you know, the vine which is there, it will actually hold the pumpkin. It, see, the pumpkin doesn't, because size of the pumpkin, the vine doesn't cry and say, my God, you have become too heavy now. I cannot hold you anymore. It doesn't say that. It continues to exist. So the Bhagavan actually says, till you are ripe, till you are ripe for knowledge, till you are ready, I'll hold you. I'll hold you step by step. So Urvarikam Iva Bandhana. So Bandhana means he holds you. Right? And when the time is ripe, the fruit automatically cuts off from the vine. You don't need to pluck it. You'll see many times that you'll see the pumpkin getting rolled away automatically. Sometimes after many weeks, you'll see that the pumpkin is no longer connected to the vine. It's already got disconnected. It's already staying separately. So Mrityor Mukshiya Maam. So he says, just like, you know, the pumpkin is getting free from the vine, so you free me from the jaws of death or from this moksha. Is a meaning. See, now when you chant the mantra, right, your prayer, your mantra will actually change. You know the meaning. And thereby, now you will be able to appreciate the beauty of them. So initially, you were worshipping or you were meditating on Shiva, the object. Right? Now, after knowing the meaning of the mantra, now your focus or your understanding is different now. Slowly now this meaning actually comes into your mind. And then now you start to develop on it. So what the Shastram says here is, initially you first have to do this. So from Dvaita Bhakti only you become Advaita Bhakti, Advaita. You have to be Dvaiti first. You cannot directly go to Advaita. So first, follow what you are doing. Then when you study Shastra, when you go through all this systematic study, you will be able to understand and move away from Dvaitam to Advaita. That's why an Advaiti is always also as Bhakti. He understands the beauty of Lord, everything he understands. Whereas a Dvaiti can be a Dvaiti forever. He doesn't need to be a Dvaiti. It doesn't need to. You will see lots of people we see. They are all Dvaitis. They have prayer, they have worship, they have bhajan, kirtan, namasavitram, they have. They will continue to be. There's nothing wrong with that. At least they are in that line, satsang, which is good. One day they will have to come. If not now, maybe someday they will have to come. So that worship or that prayer which they are keeping doing all the time, continuous singing Nama, Bhagavan Nama, Bhagavan Nama, will one day lead them to this path. So I'm going to introduce this verse briefly to you today and then I'll continue in the next class, okay? Verse 22, I'll just talk about it. I know we are supposed to start 22, but somehow we had a long gap for almost a week and a half. So I'm tempted to revisit other topics from before. Instead, I'm preparing you for the next topic, because the next topic is called Samadhi. This is a big topic. The biggest chapter in the whole of Siddha Shiveka is Samadhi. It's called Nididhyasana. So in Nididhyasana, the person is supposed to be already done Shravanam Mananam first. Having gone through Shravanam Mananam first, then it dwells upon the teaching, what he has learned. And fine corrections are made. Habitual errors are getting corrected. Habitual errors. So sometimes after studying also, our buddhi will go into old track. So the Nididhyasana is actually to pull back and say, look, then make it fun. So few fine-tuning required here and there. So this verse we look at it here. Upeksha nama rupe dve. Upeksha nama rupe dve. Satchitananda tatparaha. Satchitananda tatparaha. Upeksha nama rupe dve. Satchitananda tatparaha. Samadhim sarvata kuryat. Samadhin sarvata kuryat hrudaye vatava bahih. Hrudaye vatava bahih. Samadhin sarvata kuryat hrudaye vatava bahih. Upeksha nama rupe dve satchitananda tatparaha. Samadhim sarvada kurya hrudaye vatava bahih. So upekshaha nama rupe dve. So dve means what we saw before: asti, bhati, priyam rupam, nama rupam, cha panchakam. See, the same thing continuing. So, dvi here means two. What are these two? Name and form. And what do we do? Upekshaha. Having disregarded. So, having disregarded the name and form, upeksha namarupe dve. And Satchit Ananda Tatparaha. So we saw before Asti Bhati Priyam is equal to what? Satchit Anandaha. Existence, shines, and happiness. Anandaha. So that. The first three belong to the Brahma Rupa. The Nama Rupa belongs to the Jagat. Correct? We saw that before. Same thing say author says here, that having disregarded now, Upeksha Nama Rupe Dve, having disregarded the Nama Rupa and now engrossing yourself in what? Satchit Anandaha. So when I say engrossing means what? Now focusing your mind on the truth. Focusing your mind on the truth. So, see, you cannot actually remove everything, you know, physically. Cognitively only can remove. You can only remove cognitively. You cannot physically separate anything. If I tell you to say, no, separate physically, you cannot. You mentally, cognitively, you understand in the wake of jnana, knowledge, that, okay, these three things are Asti Bhati Priyam belongs to Brahman, or the essential reality. And the other two are Mithya, and names and forms keep changing all the time. Right? samadhim sarvada. So what is samadhi? I just told you briefly. Samadhi means mind absorbing of the mind. Samadhi means the mind has to be absorbed in a certain things. So there is also samadhi different types. We saw, I'll tell you later on next class. Savikalpa samadhi, nirvikalpa samadhi. So there are six different types of samadhis are there. Six different types. And one has to go step by step, finally, to come to nirvikalpa samadhi. Or nirvikalpa means that where there are no attributes, there's no division, nothing is there. But to focus on that is difficult. Correct? How can you focus something abstract? So this is a method of, you know, arriving at that step by step. So samadhim sarvada. Sarvada means always, not temporarily. You cannot say that, okay, I'll let me go and sit in meditation for half an hour or so. Let me meditate on Brahma. Or something, what you're talking. Then you come back. That is not called meditation. It is meditation is okay for some time. But we say here sarvada. So the word sarvada is important. Always. So when you say always, you know what vidyasana, where your mind is always engrossed in the shastra. As I told you, the meditation has to be only on the shastra and the Mahavakyam or the teacher itself. Teaching, very important. It cannot be on something else. Very, very important concept. So meditation, when you go to meditation class, they will actually ask you to chant a mantra and say you focus on this mantra or you say this mantra. And then you keep on chanting mechanically the mantra and your mind is, it's a good thing. So meditation is not criticized, Vedanta. But what we say is don't stop at meditation. Try to rise above meditation. Meditation is a karma, it will bring you time-bound results. If you go to a place, let's say you are going to a class, I think for 6 or 8 weeks or 10 weeks, it's going to give you that result for some time. If you continue to do it for a long period of time, it is going to give you the same specific peace of mind for that time only. Say your teacher has said one hour a day you should meditate. So you meditate under 1 hour. After that you come back. What happens to you? You again say your mind is disturbed. So you again have to go back and sit there. How many times will you do this? Can you do it the entire, you know, 10 hours you are say away for 10 hours a day or 11 hours a day? And if your mind is disturbed every half an hour, 1 hour, you can't go back and sit in meditation for every 1 hour, right? You can't just go and sit there. That's the difference in meditation and what you call vidyasana. Whereas in vidyasana, or in contemplation, you're not doing meditation. See, meditation is like you're doing something. You've got to sit there and do something. Whereas in contemplation, you are in meditation or in meditation. And meditation in meditation is different from doing meditation. Because there's no time factor. So you're across the time factor. Space factor is not there. You've got to go to a room, go to some place and sit there. Lock yourself up. A lot of noise will come. People talking, disturbance. You get disturbed. So you have to lock yourself physically up and say, look, sorry, don't disturb me. I'm actually in meditation now. I'm doing meditation. So you physically lock your mind, say, no. But then after some time, you come back. You have to come out. You cannot be in samadhi for a lifetime. You have to get out. So when you come out of somehow that meditation factor, you are back to same square one. You meet the same people, same anger comes in, same everything comes out. And again you decide, my God, I'm going back to old days, let me go and sit again in meditation. Again lock your room. So you cannot do this. That's why what Shastram says is that once you get the jnanam, get the knowledge of what it is, the reality which we talked about, Satchitanandaha, then you dwell upon that forever. There's no need to do anything because it's actually already gone into complete there. And this keeps always ringing in your ears, in your thoughts. It's always coming there. Till, of course, in this deep state, you can't know anything about it. But even when you are awake, this thought keeps coming to you. And once you understand the beauty of it, then you are always happy. That's what it says. So, samadhim sarvata kuryat. So, means we do. One must make the mind absorbed. One must make the mind absorbed in what? Satchit ananda tatparaha. So, having the mind engrossed in the truth of asti bhati priyam or satchit anandha, the real nature of one's own self. There, hridaye means, hridaye means heart. It's heart. It says the heart. Hridaye. Or the definition here is called antakaranaha. Not hridaye means, I say, in my heart I am feeling this. And antakarana means your whole. Correct? Or, so basically, so you have to have this focus of mind very clearly dwelling upon the thought of the real nature of what is what. Satchitanandaha, astibhati priyam rupam, namarupacha panchakam. Adityatrayam Brahma, the other two are belong to Jagat. So this, but you just cannot memorize this verse. You cannot say this memorize. You have to know the meaning of this verse and what is the context of it. We have been seeing this in the past so many classes for the last 4 months, 5 months now. The nature of the individual, nature of creation, the five elements, the elementals, we've seen it. Now he has come to the core topic, which is Tatpada Lakshartha. So, having known the previous teachings or the previous lessons, what has been discussed, now you apply those things in the wake of this latest Asti Bhati Priya. Then, let your mind be in samadhi. Let your mind be engrossed in that truth. So, by cognitive analysis, anything comes, you see it, you dismiss it, or you say, look, okay, I understand this is what it is. Then you dismiss cognitive. Thereby, you will be able to arrive at only the truth, not this other thing. That's what it says. So, ignore names, forms, and focus on Satchitanandaha is the message. Upeksha nama rupete. Upeksha means having disregard. Satchitananda tatparaha samadhim sarvada kuryat hridaye vatava bahihi. Bahi means outside. So, it says, either when you look outside also, you should be able to look at and then deduce it back. See, the beauty is that when you look at the object also outside also, because you are reacting to the transactional world, viharika jiva, right? You cannot say that I am always a paramarthika jiva. You are a paramarthika jiva, yes, but you also have a viharika jiva. So when you transact with the world, you have to deal with the right manner. At the same time, you should also be able to reflect on the truth of what this means to you. So, vatava bahihi means, hridaye vatava bahihi means, either hridaye here means antakaranaha, and bahihi means outside also. So, even if you say outside also, you should be able to bring it back and focus on the truth, the real nature. So, holding the mind going out, hold the mind back. Mind going out, hold the mind back. How do you hold it? In the real nature of the jnana, of what the meaning, what says here, samadhi. That That's why the word, see, the verse Asti Bhati Priyam is one of the key verses, very important verse, which reveals the true nature of Brahman. So with this verse, what we will actually go to the next topic, which is the practice of Samadhi, which I need to unfold to you slowly, because they got six different topics in this. Six subtopics are there. It's one of the longest topics in tradition. Because now we are coming to the core of the topic, which is Nidhyasana. Have we understood, have we listened to all these things in the past so many months? Have we been Marana or dwelled upon Asti Bhati Priyam Rupam? We dwelled upon this. The mantra which I told you before, the seed mantra for Samadhi, this introduction, says, having now discovered all these things, having understood those topics, now you let your mind focus on the Satchit Ananda Tat Paraha. Peksha Nama Rupa. So remove or dismiss cognitively the names and forms and arrive at a truth and dwell upon it. So anything which you see, you bring it back to the same thing. See the objects, bring it back. Objects, bring it back. That's why it's called that practice will bring you to steadiness of mind. And then he says, the techniques you should use for Samadhi. So there are six. In fact, you know, the author says here that the name and form is a wrapper. You know, if you have a chocolate candy, so you have a candy inside, right? And you wrap it in the wrapper. The name and form is just a wrapper, and the candy is a real essence. Satchit Ananda. That is the truth. The wrapper can be in different color. You may have a blue wrapper, you may have a red wrapper. But the real essence can be the same, only one essence. So if you want to enjoy the candy, what do? You cannot say that I'll eat with the wrapper. You cannot say that let me just, you know, eat the chocolate with just the wrapper itself. It will not taste good. So you'll have to remove the wrapper first. So the wrapper is called what? Nama Rupa. So remove the wrapper, then you eat the candy. Is Satchit Anandaha Shivoham Shivoham. Enjoy. So we'll go through the topic next class when we meet again next Thursday, where we look at what is Samadhi. There's a bit of introduction I need to do Samadhi first. Then we go into each of the sub aspects of Samadhi. Is it clear? Any questions? Any questions?
All of us are Satchidananda, isn't it?
Yes. All of us
so
are.
We are all Brahman.
We are all Brahman. Yes.
Okay.
To arrive at that, you need to know this.
Yes, without that I couldn't have arrived at. Yeah, okay.
Suresh, any questions? Are you clear? All okay?
Yeah, so basically you are saying that Samadhi is different from contemplation.
No, Samadhi is same as Nidhyasana, but there are different steps in Samadhi, like there are different types of Samadhi.
Okay.
It's called Nidhyasana.
Because Samadhi is given as concentration on meditation.
Correct.
And you said that we have to go beyond that.
Correct. See, meditation
is the stage of Nidhyasana.
Correct. Nidhyasana means where the person dwells upon the truth of one's own self as Swarupam. Nothing else. But to arrive at that, one needs to go through a systematic process of elimination. So how do you arrive at the final truth is described in this chapter one by one, where we say, okay, you arrive on that, you know, the universe is counted, so it's the best. We'll go through that in. So Vidhyasana is basically it's an elaborate topic discussed, which will go through in next class. I think it might take me maybe 4 to 5 classes just to go through that. Vidhyasana. Because there are 6 verses are there, 6 different verses there. Each verse will take at least maybe an hour or so something to unfold. So we'll stop the class here and we'll meet on, some of you guys are meeting on Tuesday or on Sunday at 2 o'clock. Some will meet you on Sunday at 8:45 for the Bhagavad Gita class. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.